Well, anyway, guys, this has been a very long show. Nah. Okay, back up the good day. Okay, last week's parsha, we know about the eagle Azov. At the very end of the parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu puts on a mask. He puts on a mask on himself. Why? Because he was up on the mountain on Har Sinai for 40 days, 40 nights. Then after he came down, he saw the eagle Azov. It happened. He went up for another 40 days and 40 nights. Another 40 days and 40 nights, and he ended up getting making Bnei Yisrael do tshuva, or ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu for full kapara. And then, the last 40 days and 40 nights, he was up there to get the second luchos. Now, from those second luchos, he did a tremendous thing. We don't know what it was exactly. He didn't write the extra yud in the word anav. He somehow got this shine to his face. So when he came down to Bnei Yisrael, whenever he spoke to Bnei Yisrael, they couldn't deal with him because he had this shine. So he put on a mask. So they wouldn't see the shine. It was scary. Scary is like looking into a bright light. That's what it was like. This week's parsha starts off. Vayakom Moshe has called out to Bnei Yisrael v'yomar aleihem. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered all the Bnei Yisrael and he said to them, Eileh ha-devarim asher tziva Hashem la'asosam. These are the things that God has commanded for you to do. Shesh yamin te'asam alacha. 6 days you should do work. V'yom ha-shvi yelacham kodesh. Shabbos shabbosam la'ashem kolosim v'malacha yumas. 6 days you should do work. On the seventh day, it should be holy. A Sabbath of Sabbaths for God. Anybody who does work on that day should die. The only malacha that we know about, you cannot do havara. You cannot burn a fire on Shabbos. What's the connection? Why are we starting off with Shabbos? It's clearly going into the Mishkan. And if it would have started off right here, and it says, Zad Vashir Tziv Hashem Lamor, take a chuma and everything, then you can understand. There was ego of God wanted us to get a kapara. What's the kapara? Building the Mishkan. So you see a connection. You see a clear connection between last week's parsha and this week's parsha. No problems. It seems like Mimal Paras Yom Kippurin. It seems like it's right afterward. It seems very clearly there's a connection. What's the pshat within Shabbos? Why do we have to get into Shabbos? What does the pasuk want to tell us about that?
Two times last week also?
Oh, yeah, there's the Shom Ruben Yisrael, also Shabbos in last week's parsha. There is Shabbos in last week's parsha. So what's the pshat? Okay, there's also the Eileh HaDvarim. The Or HaChaim says the following. The Or HaChaim quotes a Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches of days. The Gemara in Shabbos says that Rabbi Yochanan says, even if a person is Ovid Avodah Zarah, Mochlan Lo, we give you a Mechila. When? If you keep Shabbos. It doesn't make a difference what sin you've done. If you keep Shabbos and you're an Ovid Avodah Zarah, keeping Shabbos will make sure that you're perfectly fine. That's unbelievable. So what's the tikkun for being Oved Avodah Zarah, for being over on the Egel Azov? And what did they say by the Egel Azov? Eila Elohecha Yisrael, these are your gods, O Israel. The kapara is, Eila HaDevarim Asher Tziva Hashem Lasos Susam. This Eila is a kapara for the previous Eila to say that even though you guys did Avodah Zarah, but if you keep Shabbos, you'll get a full Mechila. That's the idea behind the Gemara. Now that's good. But Eila HaDevarim has to mean something else. What's this Eila referring to, and why is it from the Eila? Eila is the Gematria of 36. Devarim is 2. 38, for those mathematicians out there. 36 plus 2. Ha-Devarim is a third thing added on, which is 39 altogether. No, that was a hard one. What's the shot behind that? Well, you have to know what Eila means. Got to know what Eila means. This is a crazy little board from the Kedushas lady. I'm sorry? Devarim as in two things, right. And then Ha-Devarim adds on a third thing. Kedushas lady, Rav Levius and Rav Edishas, so unbelievably beautiful word. He says, Al-Eila ani bochiyo. He says that Eila always refers to the Chitzonim. If you want to say Eila is the Gematria of, or the Notrikon, the abbreviation of Isser, Lashon, Hara, you could say it that way. But Eila refers to bad things, the Chitzonim, those on the outside. Eila, it's those things over there, referring to the demons, the, what do you want to call them? The Mazikin, the Chitzonim, those that are on the other side, the ones that are outside. The way to get rid of those Chitzonim is to work hard. Because if you work hard on yourself, and then it doesn't mean work hard on yourself, it really should be just working. If you work really hard, then all the taivas and all the hirhurim, all those thoughts that you have in your head will all go away. You ever notice, if you damage one asteroid, you know why we sway? One of the reasons why we sway? The way to get rid of bad thoughts in your head is go like that. Back and forth. It takes something out of
you. Walk around like this.
Some people will have to, yes. But if you do that in the middle of your Shemot Esrei, although it looks like you're going everywhere, it takes things out of your head. Having your mind move. And they end up in another way. They don't say just Banayin. Banayin is 100% true. But by Hasidim, they do that. And this really what Kedushas Levi, Levi is very addictive. The pshat is you want to take Taivas and Hurim out of your head, move yourself around, and move. Do something. That's what you got to do. You got to get rid of it out of yourself. And that's why, you got to do an SEO. You got to do something. And if you do something, you'll be able to keep them out of your head. But not on Shabbos. On Shabbos, it's not a time to get rid of the chitonim. Shabbos is not a time to work on these things, to be mavar of the chitonim and get rid of all those problems. On Shabbos, you rest. You don't do any work. So it's usher to do any malacha. It's usher to try to get rid of the chitonim. The chitonim don't have that power on Shabbos, which explains something. The Maharil asked this question. The question is, Sheishas yamim teyalsem malacha, 6 days you must do work. Is there a chiyuv to do work during 6 days of the week? Mm-hmm. Is a chiyuv? Well, if I rest during those 6 days, if I take one day and I sleep, I'm over on a mitzvah? Of course not. Of course not. So what does this mean? It should be that I can do it. But teyalsa is you must do work. Or it should be done, I should say. But the word tasa, it seems to be that you should go ahead and do this. The pshat is because our week is spent working on ourselves. You have a chiv to work in order to get rid of the schizonim during the week. That Shabbos is a lot easier. Let's explain. Two different avodas that a person can serve in this world. There is something called Ava. There's something called Yira. Now, Yira, Ava, we know is love. By loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu and loving God and knowing God is there for me. God is there for me and believing that He's truly in charge of me. Yira is not fear. Yira is not saying, oh, I'm so afraid of God. That's a very, very low level. You just think to yourself that, oh, He's just a king and He's going to kill me if I don't do what He wants me to do. The concept of Yira is awe. It's not fear, it's trepidation. Where you know how great God is, and you're just afraid of such a person. Such a person is looking at me, oh my gosh. I can't, but not because He can punish me, because He's so great, what am I supposed to do? By love, you let yourself fall out. You've always heard that phrase, the phrase of, there's no busha, no embarrassment, there's no limits. The guy will get on the plane, honey, I love you. And, you know, he'll announce it over the microphone many times. Every plane I've ever been on, actually. I've asked if I can go on the PA system. Yeah, shut up. So anyway, so the guy goes up. It's just love. There's no boundaries for love. There's no borders for love. The guy goes up there. It shocks me. A guy gets engaged in the middle of a baseball game. Honey, will you marry me on the screen in the back? That's kind of a loser. Like, what if she says no? Like, you know how embarrassing that can be? And everybody's like looking at that guy. Look at that reject. It's love has no boundaries. You go out there and you can do anything you want. You're up. When you have awe, when you're afraid of something, not afraid because of the punishment, but you are in awe of something, you shrink back. You shrink back and you sit there, oh. You lower yourself a little bit. The wording that the Hasidim will use is the word mitzamtzim. That you'll take yourself down a little bit. You can't speak up. You can't speak up. You got to wait a little bit to understand. You see what the least is that I can do, and you go ahead and you do that. Yira is all about being afraid, but not afraid because I'm so afraid he's going to kill me. Being afraid of who this person is that's in front of me. During the week, the Arizal used to say Pesuk Dezimra very quietly. He would say it in the Arizal to go away, you know, very holy and very everything. On Shabbos, the Arizal used to scream out Pesuk Dezimra. Scream it out loud. Out of pure love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd scream it out loud. You have a Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. Shabbos is all about we are closer to God. We feel no limits. You can do whatever you think you can purely out of love for God.
Is it easier to jump around when you like see God like He did?
You know what I'm saying? Without a question. It's no question they had it better. That doesn't mean we can't do our part. We can still get as close as we possibly can. We can still have that Neshama Yisera and feel it. But during the week, you don't feel it. Shabbos is a time of holiness where you can feel the Kedusha of Shabbos come upon you if you look for it in a good way. But during the week, you don't feel it. So in the week, you have to work hard on yourself, and you have to use an avoda that's called Yira, where you're disconnected. You're further away. You need to work your way back. With Yira, there's limits, and there's problems that you have. Even if you get to the farthest level, you're still not going to get fully there during the week. But on Shabbos, it's unlimited. Anything you can keep going. I'm not saying one is better than the other. I have no idea which one is better than the other. It doesn't matter. It does not matter which one is better. Yira's aromas is probably better. But either way, okay. But either way, there's two. There's Yira. That's not a Raya Bechlau. That's like the furthest thing from a Raya. Thus, on these six days, you know what the pshat is? These 6 days, it's a chiv to go ahead and do malacha. It's a chiv to go out and do work. You gotta work on yourself, because you don't work on yourself and you got nothing, you're gonna go down. And you have to do malach on the fact that you gotta hold yourself back a little bit, you gotta have limits, you gotta have fear. But on Shabbos Kodesh, everything goes all out. And that's the real difference. That Shabbos is a time where a person can get pure pleasure, unbelievable amounts of love. And that hashpa of Shabbos can affect your entire week. Can do everything for the rest of your week. It can cause you to have unbelievable amounts of kedusha that nothing will be able to stop. You ready? I know I'm right. How can you connect this back to Kisisa? Ready to connect it back? It goes unbelievably well. That's just Shabbos. You know, you connect it back to the whole Eagle Azov business, everything that happens. Shin Shmuel quotes down in Parak Lamed Ches Pasuk Yud Zayin. Says the Pasuk. The Adonim La'amudim Nechoshes, and the sockets for the pillars were copper. Vavi La'amudim La'chashukam Keseth. The Vavim, and these hooks that were there for the pillars and everything on them were all silver. Vitzipur Hashem Keseth. The Mechushakim Keseth, Ko Amudi Echatzer, and they were covered with silver, all the pillars of the Chatzer. Says the Shem Yishmo, I don't understand. We never knew this before. This is a brand new thing. That the pillars were topped off with silver. Why did they have to be topped off with silver? What was the point? Why not top them off with gold? It's not like they didn't have a plethora, good word, of gold. They had a ton of gold. They had a ton of silver. Oh, why use silver of anything else? Shem Yishmol says, very, very good. It's only after the Egel Azov that it mentions that the pillars are covered up with silver. Why? He quotes another Arizal. Everybody's quoting the Arizal here. An ox can work, but he needs someone to put the yoke on him. If you don't put the yoke on him, then he's not going to be able to do anything. He might want to work. He might have the strength to work. But he's not going to work until you take that yoke and you put it on top of his neck. Until you do that, it's not going to work. Says, well, a person requires work. He's got to do work, but he needs a yoke. So what is that yoke? It's Olmochus Shamayim. Serving God. Listen to this. Serving God and having that Olmochus Shamayim on you is like a package on your back. That means it's going to be hard. That means you have to do a lot of mesiras nefesh, giving up of yourself of something else that I wanted to do. That means you got to have a lot of self-control, which is almost impossible. Before the Egel Azov, before they got the Yetzer Hara, that was the easiest thing in the world. It was automatic. Olmachus Shamayim, they automatically had it within them to do whatever was right, whatever was good. That was what they wanted to do. That's all they wanted. That's all they felt. That was before the Egel. But then what happened? The Egel came along, and they couldn't tap into it as easily. Because the Yetzer Hara was pushing it away a little bit. So what did they have to do? Says the Shem Yishmol, they first had to show love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then they would come to that awe of God that should have been there originally. Before the Egel Azov, it was pure Yira. Where they knew who God was, they realized what God was, and they were so far mekamet themselves, they shrunk themselves in front of God because they realized how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu was. After the Egel Azov, it was all about the Ava. It was all about the Ava. It was a level where the Yetzer Hara was there and they had to desire, they had to bring themselves to it. Kesef is the word nechsof nechsafti. I have a pure desire. I have a pure desire to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So anything covered with silver tells me that I desire what I want to do. That I have a pure desire for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what a Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show them is, you want to come into the Chatzar? You want to enter inside the Chatzar? After the Egel Azov, you have to have that desire. You have to have that cheshek. You know what that cheshek? You have to have that Ava for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that Ava will lead you to a Yira. That Ava will bring you into the Yira that was there before the Chet, before the Egel Azov. That will lead you into that. That's the idea behind we need Shabbos first. And that can be much beyond the rest of the week. Originally, it was 6 days and then Shabbos came. But once Adam Arishon sinned, what was the first day of the new world? Shabbos. And then the rest of the week followed it. You need that Ava in order to get through the rest of your week. And if you screw up that Ava, if you don't keep Shabbos in the way that you should, it's going to be one darn bad week. The whole week is affected. The whole week is affected. If you don't have that Ava to affect you within that era, your years of Romans just isn't there. When Shimon Schwab brings down the famous Medrash, now we're getting into Parshas Pikudei a little bit. Everybody knows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to make the Mishkan. Right? To make the Mishkan. After you make the Mishkan, then you should make the Arun Kodesh. Then you should make the Kelim. All the Kelim in the Mishkan. Make them. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says, was Mahapechit. He turned it around. And he said, first make the Kelim, then make the Arun, then make the Mishkan. That's what he told Bezalel. So what did Bezalel Ben Uri Ben Hur say? Bezalel got up there, 13 years old, goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is right now 81, goes up to the 81-year-old Gadol Ador, and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm sorry, it doesn't make any sense. If a person has kelim, if he wants to get furniture, and he wants to buy a house, what does he buy first? You first buy a house, and then you buy the furniture. Now, I proved that wrong. I didn't get my house. I first got my furniture, and I put it into storage, and then we got my house. So I didn't hold that way. I held like Moshe Rabbeinu. But Bezalel went up to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he said, first you get the Mishkan. What?
Like twins.
Me and Bezalel? Sure. I'm not 13.
Did you say his last year?
Bezalel, no.
He has to make himself...
No, I never knew this
before.
You did. Shem Schwab, I can promise.
I heard it from you.
I have it online. That I don't. Yeah.
I heard it from you.
Bezalel went ahead.
Who'd you write this?
And Mishkan, the Mishkan... Then the Aron, and then the Kelim should make sense. Why? Because you have to make a place for the Kelim to be. First make the Mishkan, and then we'll put the Aron and the Kelim inside there. And what did Moshe Rabbeinu say back to him? He said, oh, Bezalel, you're a genius. Bezalel El Hayisa. You must have been in the shadow of God. God must have been there in the shadow. You must have been in the shadows listening to God, because that's what God told me. That's what God told
me. Moshe was on a different level.
Unbelievable medrash. Unbelievable medrash. Four questions. Four questions you have to ask here. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu was mahapich? Did he pretend? Come on, don't give me answers. But number one, Moshe Rabbeinu, number one, he wouldn't make such a mistake. Moshe Rabbeinu makes such a mistake that he's mahapich? What kind of a mistake is that? That's number one. That's the first question you ask. Number two, if it was such a great svara, how come we can figure it out? I mean, this is the most simple svara in the world. You buy a house, you put the furniture inside the house. You don't get the furniture and then keep them out in the open and then you buy your house. It's the most pushed svara in the world. This is such a big svara that he said, like, oh, you must have been in the shadow of God. It's the most pushed svara I've ever heard before in my life. It's the most obvious thing you've ever heard. That's number two. Number three, when was the Mishkan finished? On what day? Not true. When was it finished? It could have been done in... When was it... You could have set it up on... Chaf Hei Kislev. That was the day that Hanukkah was when they could have set up the Mishkan. But God waited for 3 months and set it up when? In Nisan. But all the kelim were made, right? Because the Mishkan wasn't set up. So what was Bezalel's whole taina? What are you going to do with the kelim? You're not going to have a Mishkan to put it in? Anyway, they didn't have a Mishkan to put it in. They didn't make the Mishkan yet. Even when they made the kelim, they didn't make the Mishkan yet. They had all the stuff ready to make the Mishkan, but they didn't make it. So what was Bezalel's whole taina? His whole taina was wrong. Number three. Number four. They were in the Anani HaKavod. What was Bezalel worried about? It's going to rain? There was no rain. It's going to snow? There's no snow. They're in the desert. So what was he worried about? Well, the elements are going to hit them. They're in clouds. They're living a miraculous life. If a Kaddish Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu tells you, do this and then that. Oh, but I have a svar of the other. Who are you? Who are you? Who do you think you are to go ahead and argue with Moshe Rabbeinu? What's the idea behind that? Okay, this is an unbelievable thing. Kedushas Levi of Levi Yitzchak Berdichev says that the Mishkan compares to the creation of Shemayim Va'aretz. The creation of the world is like the Mishkan. It's like the Mishkan. And here we go. Bezalel knew how to create his own world. If he wanted to, he could have made his own little earth, could have had his own little people, could have his own everything. He had all the Shemos, all the Tzivufei Osios, whatever you want to say, whatever is needed in order to create worlds, he had them all. He had everything. Everything you could possibly want or need. Instead, he used that power to create the Mishkan. He made the Mishkan by using these Shemos. He didn't do it stam by going ahead. He looked at what the people were doing and used the Shemos to be able to make sure that those things were done the right way. Tell me, how did God originally want to create the world? And with what Midah? Midas Adin. Bereshis Bara Elokim. So God would create the world with pure din. But why did God have to change it? Because he saw it wasn't going to last. So he added on Chesed to make it Rachamim. So it became a merciful world. So originally it was Elokim, and it ended up becoming Shem Avaya. The same exact thing had to happen with the Mishkan. Exact same thing. It had to be made originally with Midas Adin, and then turned into Shem Avaya. So check out what it says. First pasuk, Ela Pekudia Mishkan. Eilat Kudiyah Mishkan. Hey, Yud, Nun. Aleph, Pei, Hey. Aleph, Pei, and Hey is the gematria of 86, the first Tevos. Because the Rashi Tevos originally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to create it with the Shem Elokim. 86 is the Shem of Elokim.
Yeah,
originally wanted to make it with Midas Adin. He originally wanted...
Yes, he...
Don't make me prove you wrong on tape. 86 is Midas Elohim. Just shut up. That's what you're here for. 86 is Shem Elohim. And that's originally why the Mishkan was made, for it to originally be with the Shem Elohim, to be with Midas Adin, for it to be made with problems, with people to be there, and for korbanos to have to be given, because if you didn't do it immediately, you'd be killed. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that the Mishkan couldn't be that way, so he switched it to a Mishkan of Rachamim. And that's Mishkan Eidus Mem Hei, which is the Gematria of Havaya B'miluah. Hey Yud Hey Vav Hei. Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. Hey 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 Aleph. Vav Vav Aleph. Vav Hey Hey Aleph. The Yud Hei Vav Hei, that it was altogether Gematria of 45, to tell you Mishkan Eidus that originally was supposed to be Midas Adin, and it became Midas Arachim. That's why the Mishkan is a pasuk. Eilat Pekudiyam Mishkan, Mishkan Eidus. The original Mishkan was supposed to be a Midas Elohim, but it ended up being that couldn't last, so instead Bitzalo made a Mishkan Eidus, which was a lower level, in which all you could have was Shem Avaya, Rachamim. Rachamim in this world. And let's try to understand something. This is just an unbelievable horror. What happened to that first Mishkan? Where'd it go? What did Bitzalo do with that original Mishkan? We know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did with the original world. The original world that Midas Adin is the world of Mashiach. The world of before Adam Arishon. The world is there. It's waiting for us. The world of Midas Adin, of Yira, is waiting for us when Mashiach comes. That's supposed to be an unbelievable level. It's supposed to be an unbelievable level. And it's there. It's waiting for us. And it's coming soon. But that's in one place. Our world is a Midah of Abba. It's supposed to be a different type of a world where we work with Rachman, where God loves us, we love God, and there's Rachman in the world. So what was the difference? What was the difference, and how does that work to the Mishkan? Shach says an unbelievable thing. Shach ala Torah. It's an unbelievable thing. He says, everything down here has a counterpart in Shemayim. There's a Mishkan down here, there's a Mishkan in Shemayim. Mishkan Hashem, Mikdash Hashem, Koninu Yadecha. The Mikdash was referring to the Mishkan. It's in Az Yashir. At the time they were building up a Mishkan, there's Mikdash Hashem, Koninu Yadecha. Your hands created a Mishkan of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shemayim. There's a Mishkan up above that compares to our Mishkan down here. Michal, the Kohen Gadol, Michal the Malach, is the Kohen Gadol up there who's makriv the nefashos of Klal Yisrael. Makriv the nefashos, he takes the neshamos of Bnei Yisrael who are tzaddikim, and he's makriv the neshamos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Mishkan in Shemayim. Down here we do animals. In Shemayim it's Tzaddikim that have that mysterious nefesh that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is makriv up to Shemayim. That original Mishkan is the Mishkan of Yira. That original Mishkan is the Mishkan that's in Shemayim, that's waiting to come down, that turned into a Beis HaMikdash when we had a Beis HaMikdash down here, that's waiting to come down when Mashiach comes, when we have a world where it's full of Yiras Aromimus, where we know who God is, and we fear God completely. That fear will bring about the Mikdash of HaKadosh Baruch Hu down from Shemayim, which it cannot be destroyed. We'll have a world of Midas Adin. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted that Mishkan. He considered himself the Mashiach. But he knew it couldn't happen. He knew all the world was. So he said to Bitzawel, first make what? The Aron, the Kelim, then the Aron, and then the Mishkan. Why? It's got to go the opposite way of the Mishkan in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, I want you to make the Mishkan, then the Aron, then the Kelim. That's for the Mishkan in Shemayim. That's where it's supposed to be in Midas Adin, and the Mishkan has to be first in order to give us Prusa, some type of Pori Sukkah Shalom Aleinu, and then you bring everything else in. It's got to be done in that type of a way. But Moshe Rabbeinu knew that everything in Olam Hazeh is the opposite of what it is in Shemayim. So he came and he did it the opposite way. He said to Bitzalel, it's the opposite. It's just the opposite. First make the Kelim, then make the Aron, then make the Mishkan, because it's got to be the opposite of what's going on in Shemayim. That's Midas Adin, but we got to use Midas Abba. I want that Mishkan, but we can't do it. Said Bitzalo, I don't understand. But the Mishkan in Shemayim was made the opposite way. It was made Mishkan, then Aron, then Kelim. So why don't we make that down here? To which Moshe Rabbeinu told him, Bitzel El Hayisa, I know you want to be with God. I know you're up there in Shemayim, and you're looking at the Mikdash up above. You're looking at the Mikdash in Shemayim, the Mishkan in Shemayim. That's a tremendous level, Bitzalo. You're a Bitzel El. You should be in Shemayim. You should be in Olam Haba. But buddy, you're down here. And down here, we do things the opposite way. We do things the other way from what's going on in Shemayim. Fire on earth goes up and water goes down. In Shemayim, fire goes down. The fire comes down to swallow up everything on the Mizbeach, while water evaporates up. Shemayim is different from this world. and you can't compare. That's the pshat. Why? It's such an unbelievable Tiferes Yonos and a Chassam Sofer. They both say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes up to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, do you want Bezalel? Is Bezalel good enough for you? Moshe Rabbeinu says, well, if he's good enough for you, he's good enough for me. He says, go ask Bnei Yisrael anyway. So Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to Bnei Yisrael. Do you guys want Bezalel? They say, well, if he's good enough for you, then he's good enough for me. That's pshat. I wonder, what kind of a question is that? Well, why would they ask him? Obviously, they were going to do, but Moshe Rabbeinu, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses somebody, Moshe Rabbeinu chooses somebody, it's not like somebody's going, I think that Joe the plumber should be the guy. Obviously, nobody's going to go up to that guy and say that we want somebody different. So, well, what's even the argument? Why would he even ask? No, Pshat is. It's such an unbelievable Bezalel was too great for this world. He was living in Shemayim. At the age of 13, his mind was in Shemayim. He wasn't here. He wasn't a normal person. He wasn't just a stomach guy in the street. He was a person who was completely in Olam Haba. And when he looked at the Mishkan and the Mikdash, and he tried to figure out what to make, he saw the Mishkan in Shemayim. And he told Moshe Rabbeinu, let's make it like that. Let's make it like that Mishkan in Shemayim. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu told him differently. He said, but I want to make it like that Mishkan in Shemayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, are you sure you want him? I'd like to have him up here. He might belong in Olam Haba. He might be too holy for this world. He might be way too holy for this world. So it's an unbelievable mashal. The mashal is that it's just, it's halfway with belly. You can't even say anything about it. That it's like a king who goes up to a guy and says, hey, I like your watch. What's the king doing? What's the king doing? Well, he wants the watch, obviously. Hey, I like your watch. So if the guy says, oh, does the king want it? Then he loses the watch. If the guy says, no, it's a really terrible watch. It really doesn't work very well. Then he's going against the king. So what's he going to do? So what does he say? So what do you say? He says like, oh king, it's such a great watch that now that you praised me about it, every time I look at this watch, I'm going to say, this is the watch that the king praised. I can't wait. It's always going to remind me of my love for the king. Thank you so much for praising my watch. I'm going to have a constant reminder that the king loves my watch. The king's not going to take it. The king says, oh, he's going to have a constant reminder of me. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to Moshe Rabbeinu, said, do you think this guy's good? Do you think Bezalel's good? If he says he's good, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, well, he's going to be with me in Shemayim then. He's too good for this world. If he says he's not good enough, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, well, what kind of, are you joking? I just told you he's good, and you're going to say he's not good enough? So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? Well, if he's good enough for you, then he's going to be great for us. And we can't wait to work with him. Because he must be so great, because you're praising him, that he's going to do the best job in the world. He answered perfectly. And he went to Bnei Yisrael, and Bnei Yisrael answered perfectly. Because they realized, if they would have answered incorrectly, Bezalel would have died. Because Bezalel was not roi for this world. 13 years old, the Yalkut Reuveni has unbelievable things about Bezalel. He's from the world of eight. If you look in the Gemara, it says that his mother gave birth to him when she was 8 years old. Her mother gave birth to him when he was 8 years old. It's a question whether how old Hur was when he died. He might have been 25 years old when he died. 25 years old and married to Miriam, who is 87, I'm sorry. Which is a little bit strange. A little bit different, yeah, obviously. A little bit different. But Hur might have given birth to Uri, who gave birth to Bezalel, at the age of 8. See how Gurgani says, how can he give birth at the age of 8? They were from a different world. They're from different planets. They're not from this world. They're not from Olam Hazeh. They're Olam Hamadic people. They're not from this world. And obviously the 8 has what to do. If anybody knows the Maharal, 7 is this world, 8 is beyond this world. Obviously that's the... I don't know if it literally means 8 or if it's figurative. The Maharal would say it's figurative. And just saying he's not from this world. But that's the idea beyond Bezalel. Bezalel is still not here. And that's the idea of Moshe Rabbeinu smiled at Bezalel. He looked at Bezalel and said, Bezalel, I know where you want to be. I know your mind is in Shemayim and you're only thinking the Mishkan in Shemayim. But buddy, we don't work that way. We're working with the Mishkan of Ava. And the Mishkan of Ava goes the other way. And you make the Kalim first, then the Aron, and then the Mishkan.
One more time. Why is that?
The Mishkan stood for a Poris Sukkas Shalom Aleinu, where there's a completely all-encompassing Poris. It's something going for everybody, where everybody can be included. And then afterward, you do all the individual things that you need to do. The way that should be is Yiras HaRumimus, where God shows His greatness to the world, and everybody sees it, and everybody is awed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then He works on the individual, how you can be fixed, and you can be fixed, you can be fixed. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not how we work. We work with individuals first, and each person does their own thing, and then afterward we try to get together with Achdus. There's no such thing as everybody getting, you can't get everyone together until you have everybody work on it themselves. Everybody has to work on it themselves, and then you can bring them together. That's the idea behind it. That's going to help understand the combination of personalities that were used to build the Mishkan. And that's how we're going to end. Who made the Mishkan? Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Tremendous yichus. I mean, if you try to, if he was up for a shidduch, I mean, this guy had everything. You know, he's like really to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron the Kohen Gadol, you know, to Miriam, obviously. His grandfather was Hur, who fought against the people in Egel Zov and got killed for it. I mean, he's a tremendous person. At 13, he's already building up the Mishkan. He's got yichus. He's got Shevet Yehuda going for him, the greatest Shevet, the strongest Shevet and everything. Very well-known person. Everybody knew who Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur was. He went and they said, Re'i Koresi B'Shem Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur. Everybody was like, oh, Bezalel, good call. Good call. Bezalel was well-known.
Good looking.
And then all of a sudden, I would assume, in this world, the world of apes, no question. Who was his partner in crime? Who was his partner in making the Mishkan? Ahaliyav ben Achisamach, Mishevet Dan. Do you know anything about him? We don't know about his family. Yeah, he's got a great name, but then, you know, Ahaliyav. He's got no family, no yichus, from the lowest Shevet. Shevet Dan, known as Ma'asik, the guy who gathers in people from all around, from the lowest of the Shvatim. What in the world is he doing with Bezalel? So Schwab says, because to knock down the gaiva of Bezalel. That Bezalel might say, oh, it's because I was chosen because I'm so great. Look at me, I'm so great. All we have is your partner. What, him? That guy? He's with me? Must mean that you can take the highest of the high and the lowest of the low and put them together. Now it makes a lot of sense. Bezalel stood for Ava. And Aliyah stood for Yira. Aliyah stood for Yira.
Who's better?
One level. I can't tell you which one's better.
Higher, holier.
Can't tell you which one's better.
For love.
There's tremendous people that have tremendous kokos. You can't say a guy who's full of, a guy who does things that are wrong and then does tshuva, you can't say whether he's better or not. Gedola and Bali Tshuva, Yosem and Tzadikim, we know the Rebbe Yashu is probably getting the highest chelik and all that. We don't know what that means. All we know is that there's Olam Hazeh. All we know is that there's Olam Hazeh. We don't know who's greater. All we care about is that one is Ava and one is Yira, and the point behind putting them together is to combine them.
We have to yearn for something. We have to try to reach a certain level.
Yearn for God. And that's the point. Whether you're working through Av or you're working through Yira, your point is to work through, go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the easiest way? Shabbos. And then combine it with the rest of the week and go from Ava to Yira and bring yourself up. Is that the only way?
Shabbos is
Ava. But it could go the other way as well. It could go Yira, then Ava, and everything else. That's the idea behind it. And that combination makes the world run. And that's the combination that makes the Mishkan run. And that's the way everything should be. Guys, have a good Shabbos. Stop with that. Okay, hold on.